This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Firstly, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We come to another session of the themes of the Quran, and what we've done so far is we've talked about how balance is something that is needed. We've talked about the revelation, how it came, how it had an effect on the believers, what its purpose was, how it changed people through the different ways that it mentioned the days of Allah Azza wa Jal, how nations were taken to task by Allah, or by the gifts of Allah Azza wa Jal, or by remembrance of the afterlife. And then we spoke about how Allah Azza wa Jal set the mindset of the Makkan mindset, and how that became the basis of people then transcending to Iman. Okay, so last week we did about Iman, and we said quite a bit about Iman and the qualities of Iman. And we talked about how Allah Azza wa Jal then addresses the Iman, and Iman should be something that makes a person want to do actions of Islam. Now, Iman is something that has got an opposite just like everything else. And commonly we will say that the opposite of Iman is Kufr. The opposite of belief is disbelief, because then you don't believe, which is true in one way, that's fine. The opposite of belief is disbelief. But you also have something else which is true. Another way of looking at Iman and not having proper Iman is to look at it as nifaq or hypocrisy. Because those people who don't believe properly, those people who don't believe as they ought to believe, meaning that the Iman is weak, or that the Iman either is not there or the Iman is weak, and that Iman makes them do things they're not supposed to do. So this is known as nifaq. This is hypocrisy. And what happens is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made his migration from Makkah to Medina, in Medina, where there was security and safety established for the first time, you find that a number of people have taken on the names of believers and who have said the shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, but yet they're not willing to live the life of the believers with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this itself became a huge problem. And it became such a problem that at times more harm was caused to the Muslims by those who are supposed Muslims, who are munafiqs, supposed Muslims, than the enemies of Islam who are known to be the kafirs or the disbelievers. So yes, there was a threat from the disbelievers, and there was a threat from within the Muslim community. And if you look in the Quran, subhanAllah, if you open the Quran and the beginning you open Alif Lam Mim, you'll see that Allah Azza wa Jal describes the believers, Iman, He describes the believers with 5 verses. Okay? Then He describes Kufr, disbelief, with 2 verses. Then He describes Nifaq, hypocrisy, with 13 verses. So, 5 which was for Iman, almost triple that of the verses Allah uses to describe the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. And only 2 for the disbelievers, which almost shows that it's almost like a third or half of the ayats Allah used for the believers, to describe the believers. Now that's astonishing. And if you look in the Quran, you find that yes, there's a lot of mention of those who disbelieve and those who may cause harm to the believers, but almost all the places where there's some form of victory or something mentioned for the believers, always Allah mentions one of the biggest problems are the people who are amongst them. They call themselves Muslims, but they're not true Muslims. They are munafiqeen, they are the hypocrites. They have nifaq inside them, they have hypocrisy inside them. Now, it's significant because once you open the Medina surahs, the surahs that were revealed after the hijrah the Prophet ﷺ made to Medina Munawwara, once you open that, you find so much description about the munafiqeen. Now, traditionally, a lot of us might have thought that the munafiq is the one who said shahada with the tongue and who doesn't believe with the heart. So he's got no iman inside his heart, but he's got an outwardly iman coming from his tongue. Okay, that is the traditional way of understanding a munafiq, and that is, yes, that is a munafiq. That is a pure munafiq. But that type of munafiq, even in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, was the minority munafiq. That type of munafiq was the munafiq that was in the minority. The majority of the munafiqs that are described in the Quran, and the majority of the munafiqs even in our time, are those who have some belief in their heart. They have belief in their heart, but their actions fail to live up to their beliefs. Okay, so there's two types of munafiqs, and this is important for us to understand because we have actually just understood only one type of munafiqs, and because of that, we kind of think we're safe. And Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, who's a tabi'i, came after the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, he actually described these two types of munafiqs. One is the one that has no belief in the heart at all. So he's actually got no belief whatsoever, but he's pretending to be a Muslim. That type of person we have today as well, but in the minority. The second type of munafiq is the one who has belief, but his actions, his hands, his tongue, his mode of behavior, his legs, his eyes, his ears, whatever, all of those fail to live up to what iman requires him to live up to. And he's actually not that concerned about it. Now, the first munafiq, the one who is munafiq by the heart, he has no, she has no belief in the heart, that one is one that is worse than the ones who disbelieve. And this type of munafiq will be in the bottom of hellfire, where there is most of the heat of Jahannam is at the bottom of Jahannam, and that's where this person is going to reside. And Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned this in the Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, ayah number 146. Allah has mentioned that. Now, this first type of munafiq, who's got no iman in the heart, but only iman in the tongue, is a person who, is an absolute, liar. It's a person who's going to do the most damage they can to us Muslims. And they actually exist amongst us. Please don't forget that. The reason why Allah mentioned them in the Quran, and we're going to recite this until the Day of Judgment, is because those people will remain amongst the Muslims until the Day of Judgment. They're the ones who are definitely, true munafiqs, who are 100% munafiqs, and those people who are, on their way to Jahannam if they don't do tawbah, if they don't repent. The second type of munafiq, the one who's got iman in the heart, but at the same time fails with the actions, fails to try and live up to their iman, they are people who still have belief. They are not complete munafiqs, but they are not complete believers. Do you guys understand? They're not complete on either side. They have a problem. Part of them makes them be with the believers and they enjoy their moment. And part of them makes them enjoy themselves with the munafiqs and the disbelievers and other people. And they like that too. And sometimes when they're with the believers, they can, okay, we'll tag along with them. And sometimes when they're with the enemies of the Muslims, they tag along with them, or the people who are totally failing in the upkeeping of Islam, they tag along with them. So that's how they were in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. So an example of that is, Allah Azza wa Jal says here in Surah An-Nisa, surah number 4, ayah number 142 onwards, you can see, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Allah says, these munafiqs, these hypocrites, they think they are deceiving Allah, but really they're deceiving themselves. Now what happens to these, there's many descriptions in the Qur'an, but what happens is Allah actually says, He says, إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى صَلَاتِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ. When they get up for prayers, they get up in a lazy manner. Now again, both munafiqs are being discussed here. Some who have no iman whatsoever, if they happen to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like let's say, you have Abdullah bin Ubay or others who are really at the forefront of showing the nifaq or showing the hypocrisy, what will happen is that you'll see that they also have to stand up in prayer. But you've also got other munafiqs who are lazy because they are lazy in their, they're weak in their iman. Allah says, لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They don't remember Allah except for a little. Okay? Now what happens is, if you look in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also given description of the two types of munafiqs. He has said that when you see a person and he has one of these three things inside him, then he has got khaslatan min khasa'il nifaq. He has got a characteristic of the characteristics of hypocrisy. But if you see all three of them in a person, then that person is 100% munafiq. Okay, so in the hadith, same thing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for example, he said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. When he will start talking, he will lie. So that's just one characteristic of the many characteristics of a hypocrite. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When he will promise, he will break his promise. So that's another characteristic of the characteristics of the munafiqeen. And then he said, وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. And when he will be entrusted with something, he will break the trust. He will betray the person with whatever you left with him, right? And in one narration it says, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. When he will start to become argumentative, then he will become abusive. They will use abusive language, okay? So that's four things he mentioned in one hadith, three in other hadith. And he said, whoever has one of these in them, then they have a characteristic, khaslatan min khasa'ili munafiq. They have one characteristic of the characteristics of the hypocrites. But whoever has all of these in them, then he is a total munafiq. Okay, so again, you can understand from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you've got two types. Some that, they're fighting with their nifaq. They say, no, I've got to become a better Muslim. I've got to become a better Muslim. And I've got to try and be. Now, these people are believers. As in, they're not true believers, but they have got belief inside them. Yet, they have been affected with bad characteristics of the munafiqeen. Okay, so if you now bring this amongst our community, if you think about the Muslims today, we are 1.4 billion Muslims on the earth, and everyone's going to say Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Yeah. But the question is, how many of the 1.4 billion Muslims are true believers, like the way we explained last week in the session, that their belief is making them try and do as many good actions as they can? And how many of the 1.4 billion Muslims we've got are of type 1 munafiqs? Who have no iman in their heart whatsoever, and they're just saying it from their tongue? And how many of the 1.4 billion Muslims we have are from type 2 munafiqs, who have got belief but who fail in their actions to live up to Islam? I think you would agree with me that we've got a large number of type 2 munafiqs amongst the ummah today. We've also got type 1 munafiq in our ummah. But this type 1 munafiq are the ones that are in the minority. So there are people amongst us, subhanallah al-azim, who are selling our religion, who are going to governments and going to different organizations and who are working with them to completely destroy whatever there is amongst the Muslims. There are those, and they call themselves Muslims. They have Muslim names. They say, I'm a Muslim as well. I follow Islam. Okay, but they are the ones who we know some of the actions they're doing is totally off the rail with Islam. But we have a larger portion, a very large portion of the people today who are amongst the Muslims, who have names of Muslims, who are amongst us even sometimes in the Jummah prayers. Even in the Jummah prayers. Who are amongst us sometimes even in the five daily prayers. Who are amongst us even sometimes when we are, you know, interacting with one another. But unfortunately, those Muslims, they have, you know, when that Muslim who's prayed Jummah with you, when that Muslim who's prayed Salah with you will go out there, he will lie like this, easy. For him to lie, prum. It's like as easy as you putting butter on bread. That's how easy it is for him to lie. For him to say to you, brother, wallahi, I will do this for you. I am trusted, trust me. Wallahi, subhanallah al-azim. For him to convince you is no problem. And then for him to cheat you is no problem. And then how many have you got who will pray Jum'ah with us? Who will, you know, you leave something amana with them, something, and then they say, oh, I've spent it. I don't know where it is. I'll get it for you, you know. They took a loan from you and then they don't want to give it back to you. They're making excuse after excuse after excuse. This is hypocrisy. This is exactly the same thing which Rasulullah ﷺ talked about. And then the guy who prayed Jummah with you, or the woman who prayed Jummah with you, when they're in an argument, they will use this swear word, that swear word in their rage and their anger. You know, he will start shouting and become abusive and she will do the same thing. This is one of the elements and one of the characteristics of nifaq. We're not going to say the munafiqs like of type 1. Okay? And even when you say to, you know, don't ever go to someone and say, hey man, you're type 2 munafiq, bro. You know what I'm saying? Don't go to anyone and call a munafiq, because if you say munafiq to anyone, you know, they're going to be enraged. What? You call me a hypocrite? You're trying to say to me that I haven't got any iman inside of me? Because what happens is, because in our society, when you say hypocrisy, when you say hypocrite, is we always use it to mean type 1. Okay? But in reality, the Quran has dealt with two types of munafiqs. Type 1, which we normally, you know, talk about, but type 2. And the type 2 is sometimes the more dangerous one. Because type 2 is the one that is amongst us. Type 2 is the one that, you know, sits with us, stands with us, moves with us, is part of us. And that one fails because of laziness. That one has problems because of, you know, many, many, many things that they haven't sorted out. So us Muslims, look, for us to be true Muslims, we have to get rid of the very things which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to get rid of amongst his Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So for example, he had to get rid of racism from amongst them. He had to get rid of racism. It is a clear fact, because before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the Arabs thought they were the most superior. Not that they don't think they're the most superior today, but you know, before his time they thought they were the most superior, and then amongst them they had rivalries, and amongst them if they saw someone who's a non-Arab, someone who's from Africa, they looked down on the person, someone who's a foreigner, they treated him different, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted them to treat them equally. The same happened from between the tribes. Sometimes there were Arabs versus Arabs. Like in Medina, he had to deal with the Aus and the Khazraj. These were two different tribes. And Aus and Khazraj had been divided over about 120 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina. And he managed to unite them. And they were called the Ansar, the helpers of Medina. But they had the rifts before his time. And even the people of Makkah, the Muhajirun, they had their rifts. Because there was like the Banu Hashim, then there's the Banu Umayyah, then there's some other, you know, Banu Kilab and Banu this, Banu that. They were different tribes, and the different tribes thought that they're, you know, higher than others. This was a form of racism that they had amongst them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to get rid of this and make them true believers. And he wanted to get rid of those things inside them that had an element of those things that is not wanted. Now, the same thing happened with jealousy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to get rid of jealousy amongst them. He had to get rid of pride. So one of the things that he did was, you know, the element of pride that the Jahili people had is they used to drag their cloth along the ground when they used to walk. This was a proud person walking, you know, he's arrogant, he's proud within himself. They used to walk with their cloths dragging behind them. The longer the cloth dragged behind them, the greater the purse. It's like, you know me, I'm so rich, I can afford to drag my cloth on the ground. You know what I'm saying? Give him some credit. that's the mentality. That was the mentality. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to pulled his own izar, his lower garment, up high and higher and higher and higher until he put it to the middle of his shin. Just to make, he went to another extreme to try and get the Muslims to at least bring it above the ankles so that they don't have that arrogance. Because anyone who walked with their izar or the lower garment in that time above the ankle was laughed upon. And he was like, you know, you miskeen, you know, you don't have any money. You know, what kind of person are you? You got no status. That's how he was. But he had to do that to get rid of it. So whether it was a jealousy or a pride inside the heart, or it was something on the outside, he had to work amongst the Muslims for them to get rid of this. And each of the problems that a person would have, the Prophet ﷺ had to work for them to get rid of it. So he noticed amongst his companions that amongst the companions, there are certain people who are lurking in between them, who also think that they're a companion. They think that they're like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, but they're failing in their duties. So one of the failings in their duties was that they used to come for salah, but they found it difficult to pray the sunnah salah. They found it difficult to pray the extra nawafil or sunnah salah. Another one was they found it very difficult to join the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah, because it's dark, it's cold, and you know, if you want to make a name for yourself, let me give an example. If you want to make a name for yourself, if you want other people to see you that you're doing something for Islam, then would you want to show off in the dark or show off when it's bright and light? What makes sense? Bright and light. So they'll all come for Jummah, no problem. They'll come for Dhuhr, they'll come for Asr. But when it becomes Fajr or it becomes the Isha, these two, like, no one's seeing you. I can't make, you know, a name that I came. So Allah even says here, he says, "Yura'un an-nas." One of the problems with this type 2 munafiq, and even with the type 1 munafiq, was they wanted to show people off. That, look, I'm also doing this. Hey, I'm doing this. Yeah. Put my name down. Yeah. I did it. Remember me. Yeah, remember me. And I said, you know, you got those people amongst us. They want to be remembered. And subhanAllah, you know, you got to be careful. Because if you come to the masjid and you're coming and you want to stand in a place where I want everyone to see me that I'm here. If you stand for salah purposefully in a place where everyone can see me, Allahu Akbar, everyone knows I'm here. Well, that's riya. If you can't afford sometimes to go to the side or go to an unknown place in the masjid, sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, if you can't afford to do that, if it always bothers you when you're at the side, then you got a problem with you. There's some people, you know, I don't want to cause any wars here, okay? But some people, they love to give the adhan, but it has to be the maghrib adhan. I'm like, bro, what's wrong with you, man? You know, they want to give the adhan, so they'll come and ask permission to give the adhan, fine. You want to come and ask permission to give the adhan, fine. Adhan is adhan, right? So to Allah, the adhan of Asr, adhan of Fajr, adhan of Dhuhr or Isha, whatever, is all the same. And Maghrib is all the same, yes? Why are they dying to give the adhan of Maghrib? Because people are waiting for the salah. People are there. People can hear the voice. People, when I say Allah, Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I'm gonna feel inside me, all those people, they heard me, okay? And they know that I gave the adhan because they're there. Now, if you give the asr adhan, you have to give it 15 minutes before the salah. Have you ever come to the masjid 15 minutes before? For asr, I'll tell you, I've been an imam. You'll only have two people, four people. People are just coming, going to the wudu area. That's all you'll see. Isha adhan, you get a few more because they're still waiting. Some are waiting after Maghrib for Isha. Some people come a bit early. So Isha, you get a bit more. Dhuhr adhan, you might get a few because people are coming in from work and they want to probably put their bags down. They might want to rest and read a bit of the Quran. You might get a few people there. Okay? Fajr adhan, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You've only got jinns there. Okay? Our jinn brothers and jinn sisters, whatever, they're the ones that are packed up the place. Okay? So you might not want to give adhan because you're scared. But, you know, that's the problem. So when it comes to the other adhan, they don't want to give it. And especially Jummah adhan, oh my God, they all want to fight for it. If adhan, if you're, look, again, I'm not saying the people who give those adhans are munafiqs, by the way. Yeah, please don't cause a war here, yeah? What I'm trying to say to you is that if a person has got a will to give adhan for Allah's sake, and if Allah is the main one that we want to keep happy, then Allah Azza wa Jal is there for Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Isha, Maghrib, Warwai, is there Jum'ah, all the different salahs, he's there. And you get the same reward. You get the same reward for the adhan. There's no difference in the reward that you will get. But you can see how people can be played in their minds because they wanna have people seeing them. Now the munafiqs had one thing, which was if they did something, they wanted it to be known. Okay? So even if they gave some sadaqah, they wanted to get the credit for it. They wanted to get, you know, some name or something to be mentioned. And if they were not mentioned, they felt like, oh, there was no use in giving the sadaqah. Now, if you have that crossing your mind, yeah, there's no point of me giving the sadaqah because my name wasn't mentioned, then my friend, you gave sadaqah for the wrong reason. And you've got a hypocrisy sort of sign inside you. A one that they had amongst them was they like to waste time. They waste time. So even they came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they asked silly questions. They asked questions that were not so necessary. As for the believers, they were serious in whatever question they were asking. They wanted an answer. Sometimes a hypocrite would ask a question for the sake of asking a question. So there's, you know, wasting time. In fact, the Quran said, it gave the opposite to the believers and said, these are the believers who don't do these things. So for example, the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمَ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who steer away from idle talk. The believers don't engage in a lot of idle talk or idle talk. The believers stay away from that. The hypocrites will sit there and yap, 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 just sitting there, just wasting time in just chatting, yapping, yapping, yapping. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And I tell you one thing I heard this week, which really made me think and made me laugh at the same time, and concerned at the same time. You know, you've got certain people who are, certain communities that are extroverts and certain communities that are introverts. So the extrovert communities are those that, extrovert means that you like to talk a lot. And introvert means you don't like to talk a lot, right? So he said the communities and the countries that are extrovert, if you're from a country that for the people in that country like to talk a lot, when WhatsApp was given to them, it killed them all off. It killed them. Because all day, if they're not talking to someone in real time, they're chatting to someone on WhatsApp, 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 just talking, 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 chatting. They can't get enough. They can't get enough. Their hands are hurting. You know, I'm serious. Some people's hands are hurting because of the amount of typing, because, you know, even, you know why it's hurting? One is typing, but the other one is, look, can you see the angle of my hand? There's a problem with the blood flow. Do you guys understand? So if you're like this for hours, your hands are going to hurt because the blood's not flowing properly. Okay? So their hands are hurting and WhatsApp has killed them. But the thing is with those type of munafiqs, they used to be dealing with the idle talk a lot. And the believers, Allah said, they will steer away from that. They won't be part of that. The other one Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran is that لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They don't remember Allah except a little. This is in ayah number 142 of Surah Nisa. They don't remember Allah except for a little. So it's hard for a munafiq to remember Allah, but it's easy for a believer to remember Allah. Okay, that's the way that we should not. Now I want you to do one thing, which is question. Let me question myself, and you question yourself and say, where am I with all of these ayats? Where am I? And the obvious one for them was to show alliances where they really only were allianced with them because of their own personal gains. So let me give an example of this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on many expeditions. So what would happen is, when he would go out to fight, the munafiqs would not join the believers. So when a tragedy came about, let's say a certain person was a shaheed, the munafiq said, I'm so glad I never went, because I'm not dead. If I had gone, then I would be dead. So when it came to defending Medina, defending the believers, they don't want to give their blood, they don't want to give their, you know, their energy or the sacrifice or risk their own life. But when the Prophet ﷺ got some booty, or he got some wealth from the people that they had gone, you know, that they had fought with, and the Prophet ﷺ then was distributing this wealth amongst the believers, that munafiq now says, Ya laytani kuntu ma'ahum fa'afuza fawzan azima. He would say, oh, if only I could have been with them, then I would have also become very successful. What's his success? His success is pesa pesa. You understand? His success is money, money, dollar, dollar, pound, pound. This is in the Quran, surah number 4, ayah number 73. He said, لَيَقُولَنَّكَ أَلَّمْ تَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ وَدَّ. He said, he will say it as if, you know, there was no friendship between you lot. The way he will just say it. So when you have difficulty, he's happy he wasn't part of it. But when you have a gain, he then says, oh, if I was with them, then I would have also gained something. Now, think about our own society. Think about our Muslim countries. Think about how many people are making the real sacrifice. And people, you know, subhanAllah, there are certain activists within our communities, they're fighting really hard for the Muslims in various ways. But you know what? They're few in number. And nobody really bothers about them. When they make some headlines or they do something really good, that's when others want to come and be part of them. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know him. Yeah, yeah. I'm part of him. Yeah, yeah. He's linked to me. Yeah. He's my father's cousins, sisters, nieces, you know, relatives, neighbors, whatever. Okay. So he's also related to me and I'm part of this. Okay. They want part of the credit. And there are many, la ilaha illallah, who are there for the credit. They're not there for the work. And this is one of the key things that Allah said in the Holy Quran, that the believers are there for the real work. They're there for the real mission. But the munafiqs, they're there for their own personal gains. The other one that they will do is treachery, the Quran talks about, which is, they will say to you, I'm with you, I'm with you. Yeah, 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 brother, I'm with you, I'm with you. But when the actual time comes, they're gone. So many times they did this with the believers. For example, Battle of Uhud. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out with 1,000 men. 1,000 men. En route to the battlefield. One of them says, hey, you know, what we said was not listened to. We wanted to fight within Medina. These youngsters said they want to fight outside Medina. And, you know, the decision was made with something that we were not happy with. We're going to protest and we're going to go back to Medina. 300 of them left and they came back to Medina. 700 were left to fight on their own in the Battle of Uhud. The same happened in many other sort of, you know, battles and things. And what the Quran talks about is this treachery, which is they will say that I'm with you, I'll deliver, I'll give you, I'm there for you, man. I'm you, I got your back, man. I got your back, you know. They'll say all of these things. You're my fam, I got your back, I'm this and that. And when the time comes, gone. And they won't be there. And then they'll make excuses. And they're really good at making so many excuses. And when the Battle of Tabuk happened, many of them made many excuses. And they said, oh, Messenger of Allah, we couldn't go out because of this problem, and I wasn't feeling too well, and the weather was too much, and it was too hot, and it was baking hot. You know what Allah said? Allah said, tell them that the heat of Jahannam is even more hot. Tell them. So this image of Allah, you know, the business, you know, to take care of the business. I couldn't come because of business. Have you not got those Muslims today? You're not listening to me, are you? Have you got those Muslims today? Give me an example. Anyone give me an example? How many of them cannot even come for Jumu'ah because of their business? Let's be honest. Let's be honest about it. How many Muslims who say we're Muslims, and they have got iman. I'm not saying they're you know, type one. Again, it's very important to say this. I'm not saying they're type one munafiqs here. But may Allah forgive all of us. They've definitely got the type two hypocrisy inside them. And what they say is, when it comes to Jum'ah time, they say, because of our business, I can't leave my business, you know, Jum'ah, oh, what am I going to do? And they carry on doing business every week. And all they had to do is close business on a Friday for 1 hour. And I'm telling you this, I want all of you listen to this, as many shopkeepers as you know, tell them, if you close business for 1 hour on a Friday, for yourself and for all your employees, the loss that you're going to have, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you that in another way. Okay, so for example, on a Friday, what you could do is, let's say if you are opening a business, let's say most of the shops will open like from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock, right? 10 to 6, right? So they're opening, and some of them are opening 7 days a week. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yeah, it's kind of a, I think that's also another thing that they need to learn, because most of the shopkeepers who open 7 days a week and who come 7 days a week, they don't have much of a life. They are drained, they are finished after a while. But my thing to them is, if you open 10 to 6, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on Friday you open, let's say for example, 10 to 1 o'clock, then you open from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock, 1 hour extra on a Friday, or you open every day 15 minutes extra or half an hour extra, whatever it is, to make up for the loss you might have on Jum'ah. Allah will give it to you another way. But you don't have to have your shop open on a Friday. At that time, it's up to you what time you open it. Now, if you actually put a sign there for all your customers to know that on a Friday, we close from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock or from 12:30 to 1:30, whatever the time is, okay? If you close from that, all your customers will know that you do this. I don't care even if they're in a non-Muslim society. If they all did it, it'll be known that, you know what? It's a Muslim, you know, prayer time, and they're going for prayer. Now, at that time, I know what the guy's thinking. Oh my God. At that time, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I lost. Yeah? This many pounds, they went to that shop, they went to the Hindu shop, and this other shop, and the Christian shop, and this guy's shop, and that guy's shop, and I lost this much. And he's calculating, he's burning him. He's sitting in Jummah, he's like, come on, Imam, finish, 100, hiba, finish. Yeah, he wants to get out. But you know what? You got to think of it in a different way. You think in a different way, Allah Azza wa Jal never wrote their rizq from my shop between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock on a Friday. And alhamdulillah, they will get their rizq from somewhere else, right? Number two is, Allah said in the Holy Quran, He said, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. Allah said, you know, leave your commerce and trade when the adhan of Jummah has gone, and, you know, come to the khutbah, come to the remembrance of Allah, come to the khutbah. And Allah Azza wa Jal, that means that if I'm trading at that time, the business I will do between the Jummah time is going to be negative money. So this is what you need to tell them. It's not plus money. If Allah's told you don't do business, come and pray, and you're doing business at that time, the money you make and the money you earn that time is going to kill your business off. It's going to bring your business money down. The barakah is going to go away. The blessings are going to go away. And that's why you're going to have a business going down. You'll see that the money has gone up, but the barakah will go down. When the barakah goes down, the blessings go down, then you're in minus. As in, I'm not saying a minus under the red, but I'm saying you've made less money that day than you made more money. Okay? And these people need to understand this. Anyway, the munafiqs were those who would, you know, who would do this. Another one was that they were people, when it came to Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar, when it comes to calling towards good and preventing others from evil, they would do the exact opposite. They would call towards evil and they would prevent the good. And this is mentioned in, you know, there are many, several references in the Holy Quran. You will find quite a lot in Surah Baqarah, Surah Al Imran, Surah Nisa about the Munafiq, Surah Ma'idah, you'll find about Munafiqs, Surah Tawbah, Surah Anfal. They're full of references of the Munafiqs. And one of the ones Allah mentions, the one I've just said now, which is when it comes to calling towards good and preventing from evil, they do the exact opposite. So this is Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, ayah number 67. Al-Munafiqun wal-Munafiqat ba'duhum min ba'd. Allah says, the hypocrite men and the hypocrite women, they are from one another. Now subhanAllah, Allah mentioned here hypocrite men and hypocrite women. Ya'muruna bil-munkar. They call each other, or they will call towards evil. Wayanhawna anil ma'ruf. And they will prevent good. Wayaqbiduna aydiyahum. And they hold their hands back from spending. Nasullaha fanasiyahum. They left Allah, Allah left them. Innal munafiqina humul fasiqun. The hypocrites, surely they're rebellious ones. Now, look, Allah said rebellious. He said munafiqin men, munafiqin women. Now tell me this here. Those Muslims amongst us, the guy is calling through his smartphone, he's calling her towards, you know, fun time they're going to have. They're not married. They're going to have fun time together. She's also calling him to a fun time they're going to have together without marriage. This is calling themselves to something which Allah hasn't allowed them. If it's marriage, then it's halal. If it's non-marriage, then it's not going to be halal. So they're calling each other. And the people who tell them, say, hey, listen, man, you know, it's haram to have this kind of relationship. You know, akhi, don't do this. You know, it's better for you to get married. They say, who are you? Who are you? Go and enjoy your own life. Leave me alone. You know, you're this, you're that. No. They do the exact opposite. Instead of calling towards good, they now see the evil, something which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram, or has made something which is illicit, something which they shouldn't do in an unlawful way according to the religion. They see that as something that is pleasurable and it's fine for them to do it. And they will condemn the people who try to stop them from doing this. So they do the exact opposite of what Allah Azza wa Jalla has said. How many Muslims amongst us have we got who, when it comes to drinking, gambling, when it comes to fornication, when it comes to adultery, when it comes to illicit relationships, when it comes to going towards drugs, when it comes to gangs, when it comes to fighting amongst one another just for you know, a name on the streets, when it comes to vandalizing, when it comes to, you know, mugging others, stealing from others, cheating from others. And these are people who have Muslim names. These are people who have Muslim names. They are born Muslims. They are people who sometimes will come to the masjid. Even if it means once a year, or even means a couple of times in the year, they might turn up to a masjid. And even if they don't come to a masjid, if you ask him, what are you? What religion do you follow? He'll say what? A Muslim. I say, I'm Muslim, I follow Islam. I'm a Muslim, I follow Islam, or I'm a Muslim. Right? Now, those are the ones, may Allah Azza wa Jal guide us, and may Allah Azza wa Jal guide them, say Ameen. These are the ones who are type 2, munafiqs. And what happens is, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, my brothers and my sisters, they cause a lot of problems for us Muslims. The ones who are trying to be good Muslims. The ones who are trying to fulfill their iman. Those of us who are trying to make our iman complete, they give us a, you know, bad thing. Now, the other way to look at this is, some of you might think, well, let's kind of, you know, sideline them. You know, you probably say, Imam, is it okay for us to say that they're not Muslims? No, you can't do this. See, this is the difference between us and between many others out there. Is that we're not going to call them non-Muslims. We're not going to say they've left Iman. We're not going to do that. But I'll give you an example of how to see them. Once I had some Jehovah's Witnesses that came to my door. like they come to your door as well. And they started to talk, preach their thing. So I was preaching my thing. And from a long conversation, they said that their members of their movement, you know, most, you know, pretty much everyone lives up to the standards that they have, because anyone who doesn't live up to the morals and the behaviors of Jehovah's Witness, then they will exclude them from being a Jehovah's Witness. And then he started to point towards me and say, well, you know, Muslims don't do that, right? So we've got some bad Muslims amongst ourselves who do bad things, like I've just explained. And I said to him, I said, no, there's a big difference between me and you. I said, we care for the Muslims who have gone bad amongst us. We care for them. We still love them. And we care for them. I said, the difference between me and you is this. I said, if we were on a ship, let's say we're going from a ship from here to Australia or something. Okay, it's a long journey. And we're on two ships. We've got a ship and you've got a ship. And you set off, we set off, right? And during the course, what happens is some of the people on the ship, they become sick and they become really ill and they can't, you know, help us on the ship. They don't cook for us on the ship. We're having to give them food, which we cook, but they don't cook. And they also don't, you know, steer the ship. They don't help with anything on the ship. They don't help mending the ship. They don't help sailing the ship. They don't help with us with anything, but they're just sick people on the ship. I said, as for you, you're throwing them off the ship. You're saying, hey, they're not good. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, they're the people who are not doing us any good. So let's just throw them off the ship. As for us, we keep them on board until we reach the destiny. Even though they have not helped us, but we will still keep them on board because we care for them. Now, again, it's not a session to try and, you know, bash any other sect of Christianity or what. It's not that thing. I'm just giving you a difference, which is for you to understand that the Muslims amongst us who are not living up to the Islam that they're supposed to live up to, we don't exclude them, but we make dua for them and we give them da'wah. We call them towards the proper Islam, and we have to care for them, because one day in their lives, you see these non-practicing Muslims, suddenly something hits them. And subhanAllah, you know, when I go abroad, I get asked a question, you know, the common question, they always ask this question: how are the Muslims in London? How is Islam in London? How is Islam in England? And I say this, and I give this answer. I say, the one who comes to Islam in London comes properly. And the one who goes away from Islam goes properly. Fully. 100%. No turning back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mean no turning back. But what I'm trying to say to you is that the one who comes in, subhanAllah, you look at the youth that come to Islam, they're like, yeah, bruv, you know, we got to pray, we got to do this, we do tahajjud, we go Qiyam al-Layl, we go Ihtikaf, we go Ramadan, let's do this. The one who comes in proper, with understanding. I'm going to read this book, I'm going to go and ask the sheikh this question, I'm going to go and check this out, I'm going to, you know, the one who comes in. And the one who goes out, yeah, he's gone, brother. He's gone. He's like Need for Speed, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, He's not looking back. But subhanAllah, you also see those of them who have gone, something sometimes hits them and they come back. And when they come back, subhanAllah, a lot of them come back all the way. Right? They come back with, you know, suddenly they might have gone to prison. They might have, you know, got into trouble. They might have gone through an illness. They might have had a family member who's been lost. They might have had a crisis in their financial thing. They might have had, whatever, fight, whatever it might be. But sometimes, you know, Allah gives guidance to everyone. Sometimes they don't have a tragedy, but they still come to Islam because of some understanding that they got, which is alhamdulillah. Some of them come purely because of da'wah. Somebody met them, gave them da'wah, and told them that, you know, call them towards the proper way, and they came, and alhamdulillah, they're with us, and they're with us in a good way. My point to you is that if you want to understand why we're in the situation we're in, it's because, you know, with all these themes we're doing, one of the things that we did last week was Iman, yes, but you won't understand last week's one unless you understand this week's one as well, which is we have to also try and survive and try and get out of our system the hypocrisy or the nifaq or the elements of things that take us away from that Iman. Okay? And another one is the Munafiq's hadith that they didn't want to spend with what Allah gave them. Okay, they didn't want to give others, they won't give others time, they won't give others money, they won't give others things that Allah gave them. That's one of the problems. They don't like sharing, okay? Another one they had amongst themselves is that they used to spread false information really quickly. So anytime they have information coming to them, they will just spread it straight away without even thinking about the consequences of what might happen or what might come to the believers. Let me give you an example of this. So Surah Ahzab, Surah number 33, ayah number 60, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, they have a disease in their heart. And one of the biggest diseases in the heart is that they haven't fully attached themselves to Islam. Okay? They haven't fully attached themselves to Islam, and they will carry on, you know, just spreading information. They're like the people who are loose. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ talked about the real believer. And he said, subhanAllah, he said about the believer that he's very strong in the roots, in the ground. So when the wind comes, the wind might blow above, but like, you know, tall grass, the wind will blow above, the grass will bend over, but then the grass eventually will stand up again when the wind's gone. But there's certain, you know, plants and things that you have, when the strong wind comes, it will even pluck them out of the ground. So that's the difference between a believer and those who have hypocrisy, that we've given, you know, we've got an example of that in the Sunnah. So what they will do is, for example, when news comes, without verifying the information, without understanding what might happen with it, they will just spread the news. And unfortunately, we've got those people from amongst us as well today. You know, any news comes, anything comes in WhatsApp, it's like, oh man, I've got to forward this to another 10. Oh man, if I forward this to all those people, they're going to say, wow, you know, I'm the one who gave it to them, you know, credit. Right, I'm the one who gave it to them. Without thinking, is the information true? Is it true? Is it talking about someone which I shouldn't be spreading? Is it something which I would rather get back to the source and say, where did you get it from? Without any of this, they will just spread it out there. And it's not just on WhatsApp or whatever on the phone. Even with the, you know, in real time, someone's told them something, they just want to spread it. So, you know, we have that trait amongst them. Now, one other one that they have amongst them is that they want to cause mischief on the earth. Yufsiduna fil ard. Allah talks about yufsiduna fil ard. So they wanna go out there, and they don't care if they cause damage to people, damage to others, damage to property, damage to livestock. You know, they don't mind. They do this, and unfortunately, again, that's one of the traits amongst them that they have. They have amongst these people that they will do that. And in our time, we can see the same. We can see the same thing amongst these people. And the Quran talks about when it comes to being generous, they have a problem. They don't want to give much. They don't want to, you know, when it comes to raising money, funds for certain projects, they won't give, unless, of course, like I said to you, that they want to make a name for themselves. So all these things they have amongst them. Now, today's theme was about nifaq. It was about hypocrisy. And the final words that I want to say to everyone is that we should not go walk around saying that, oh, I'm a true believer. No one has the right to say that I'm a true believer. We should say that we're doing our best to believe. We should do that. At the same time, when it comes to me analyzing others, I should try and find the faults in me. Okay, this is one last important thing that I'm going to say to you before you leave this session, because some of you might, you know, some of them might watch this, some of you might leave here, and you might think, man, I feel good today, man. I feel like a believer, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not lying, I'm not cheating, I'm not doing this. And that's the type of arrogance as well. That's the way shaitan gets you as well, because he makes you believe that you're better than others. No, we don't do that. As people who are doing their best to live up to Islam, we will walk away from here and we'll try and think, well, what's the deficiency I have in me? What are the things I'm doing wrong in myself? And that's how the Sahaba always check themselves. But when we look at someone from amongst the Muslims who's got a problem with nifaq, type 2 nifaq, okay? You know, type 2 nifaq, I said. When you see that, you should first think, what is the good thing that he has in his life? Because even those who have type 2 nifaq, type 2 hypocrisy, they've got some good in them as well. They also have got good traits, they've got good morals, they've got some good behavior. So look at that and say, Alhamdulillah, you know, my brother or my sister, although they're bad in this, they might cheat sometimes, they might lie, but he's got this good thing, good quality inside him. Whatever the good quality might be, identify those things. And identify within myself bad things that I might have. Like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, just to make sure that he doesn't fall into this trap of shaitan, he would get onto the minbar and he would count some of his deficiencies on the minbar. He would say, oh Umar, you think you're great, huh? You don't even do this and you don't do that and you fail to do this. And you fail. He would reprimand himself in front of people on the minbar. Just to make sure that he doesn't fall into the trap of shaitan of thinking he's better than others. So guys, when we, you know, I know you've heard all of this, but when we, you know, seriously, when we think about the ummah, we want to make dua for them. We want to make, you know, give them da'wah. We want to bring them close to Islam. We don't want to look down on them. We want to see them as our sick brothers and sisters. But at the same time, we're sick in some ways as well. You know, but we want to rectify ourselves, but we want to also, you know, get them to rectify themselves. And, you know, the funny thing I remember when I was imam in the 10 Park Lane Masjid. One day, you know, this elderly, mashallah, this musalli comes up to me. You know, mashallah, this musalli is in the masjid. He's praying in the masjid 5 times a day. He's like 60 years old, okay? He's passed away now, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. So, you know, he came up to me next to the radiator. You know, we're just waiting for the salah to start. He said, Imam. He said, these people, he said, I went up to one person and I said to him, why don't you pray 5 times a day? And he said to me, why are you telling me this for? He goes, Imam, why can't they pray for? Don't they see the ayats of the Quran? Don't they see the hadith? Don't they know what's going to happen to them if they don't pray? Why are they doing this? So I said, how long have you been praying 5 times a day? So he said, I've been praying like 20 years. I said, Alhamdulillah, mashallah. I said, if I came to you 25 years ago, when you were like, you know, 35 years old, okay? And I said to you, hey, why don't you pray 5 times a day? You're a Muslim. Why don't you do, look at the Quran, look at the hadith. If I quoted that, what would you say to me? He said, I wouldn't like it. I said, would you want to listen to me or would you want to walk away? He said, I'd want to walk away. I said, khalas. I said, you understand what I'm trying to say to you, right? So he got the message. And that's what we've got to understand. Like, there might have been a point in my life that I never wanted to hear all of this, right? And I was a Muslim as well. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive all of us. And I'll see you, inshallah, next week after Isha, inshallah. Have you got any questions, by the way? You don't got any questions? No? Okay, inshallah. See you next week, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين. The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs, the curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.